Thomas is the one on his knees, examining my injury. He lowers my tights even farther and inspects my knees. They're bleeding. He curses and unzips my right boot. "What are you doing?" I brace myself on his shoulders as he lifts my leg and takes the boot off. The ground is freezing, like literally freezing, and it makes me shiver. I feel like a bleeding Cinderella who just sucked off her dirty Prince Charming, and now instead of fitting my boots on my feet, he's taking them off.
"You can't go home like this,"
he replies while working on my other boot.
"You need to be cleaned and bandaged."
After my boots are off, he strips off my leg warmers, followed by my tights, until my lower half is exposed to the chilled air. He stands.
"Come on, I've got a first aid kit."
Like the weather, I freeze at his words. They punch me awake, dispersing the insanity. My actions become crystal clear, as if I hadn't committed them myself. I sucked him off in his backyard, right in front of the window I watched him and his wife through. God, I'm such a slut. And even Thomas's presence can't ease the guilt right now.
"Layla."
I focus on him, the languidness of his frame, the flecks of arousal still coloring his cheeks. I can't go in there. He is silent, like he understands why, like he sees the craziness of what we've just done. We can't break all the rules. I can't break all the rules of being the other woman and step foot in his house. He runs his eyes over my legs and pauses a beat on my stomach, as if seeing my tattoo through the sweater.
"I made you bleed, so I'm the one who has to clean you up."
He says it like a punishment, but it still manages to sprout butterflies in my cartwheeling stomach. With that, he turns around and begins walking to the back of his house, carrying my tights, boots, and leg warmers. I stand immobile for a fraction of a second before righting my coat and taking off after him. Thomas is at the door, waiting for me to catch up. He unlocks it and stands aside to let me in first. Entering his house through the back door makes the whole situation even more illicit. It feels like we're breaking in. His shoulders are tensed as if he realizes the same thing as me. We're like thieves in the night, trespassing together. The stove light is on and the fridge makes a dull whirring noise. It's a typical sound of a typical kitchen, but I'm in awe, because it's Thomas's house, and I'm in it. Thomas stands still at the island, not for a long time, but long enough that I notice and wonder. Why does he look lost in his own house? He comes out of his trance then, and tosses his phone, wallet, and keys on the marble island.
"Take a seat. I'm going to get the first aid kit."
I hear him walk down what must be the hallway, and I use my time to absorb everything about the place. There's a coffee machine right by the door, with a stand for mugs. He's got an NYU mug hanging at the top, and I touch the cold ceramic, missing the city with an ache. Thomas went to NYU when I must have been 8 or 9. He lived in the same city as me. It floors me to think we might have crossed paths. The poet in the making and me. Soulmates. Maybe I saw him through the crowd but never took notice. His house has an open floor plan, and the living and dining rooms are both visible from the kitchen, lit by tiny nightlights. I trace the leather couch with my hands, the couch he sits on at night while grading papers. To the left are the stairs and the hallway down which Thomas disappeared. I can hear him rattling things in the bathroom. I pad down the hardwood floor, my bare feet hardly making a sound. I stop at a room with a half-open door. It issues an unspoken invitation for a trespasser like me. Swallowing, I open it wider to reveal a room full of boxes and a sprawling desk, illuminated only by the moonlight streaming through the window. I trace my palm over the surface of the wood and feel the scratches, the rough texture of it. This is a desk with history, with a certain character to it. It's unlike the glossy, polished surface of the desk in his office. I like this one better. The top is empty except for a dusty small lamp. Not even a pen resides. I wonder if it's his organizational skills at work or something more. It feels like more. I glance at the boxes, the whole mountain of them by the wall. They are labeled old, NYU, poetry, literary, and so on. I stop at the one labeled anesthesia. It's taped up. I want to tear it open and see what's inside. What are the chances of him noticing if I steal something from here?
Don't even think about it.
Jumping, I whirl around. Think about what? Thomas switches on the light on the desk, throwing the room into stark relief. The yellow light is the same as his office, reminding me of our fucking in the shadows. I press my hand on my stomach where I feel something moving.
Taking my things without permission?
I wouldn't, I scoff. I was just looking around.
Strangely, I'm not surprised.
His tone is dry.
Sit.
He points to the desk, and that's when I notice he's carrying a first aid box. I walk over and shimmy my ass onto the surface. He watches my every move, making me very aware of my own body, especially my bare thighs and calves. He sits at the chair, which creaks under his weight, and a shot of arousal runs through my core. If I get any wetter, I'll leave prints on his desk, and this isn't the time. I'm trying to be good, respectful. Lusting after Thomas in his own home is wrong, more wrong than anything we've done till now. Isn't a house supposed to be a safe place? And I'm invading that safe place with my sullied, ruined presence. Thomas puts his hand on my right knee and it jerks. It isn't even a sensual touch. There's a no-nonsense clinical quality to it as he puts my foot on his thigh. He does the same with my other leg, barely touching me, barely lingering on the skin. But I feel it all the same. The silence is thick, thicker than the delicious muscles of his thighs that I want to rub against, but I won't. I might be a slut, but even I have limits. Not here. Not here. Not here. He reaches over and fishes bandages and other stuff out of the box with tight, jerky movements. I have a feeling that, like me, he's holding on to his control by a thread.
Did you always want to be a poet?
My voice is squeaky, but I need to fill this stupid quiet. He doesn't answer for a while, dabbing alcohol onto a ball of cotton and then putting it on my wound without warning, making me wince and curse. He watches me through his lashes before focusing on my trembling thighs.
I'm not good with words,
he says, startling me.
Or rather, talking. When I was a kid, I'd go days without talking to anyone at school. Buried in textbooks, comics, and stuff. Sometimes I felt like I had a lot to say but didn't know how.
He pauses to clean the wound on my other knee. This time I'm prepared so I don't jump too much.
Then I found my dad's journals, his poems, and I knew.
Knew what? My hands are holding onto the edge of the desk. It's my way of stopping them from sinking into his gorgeous hair.
But this was the way for me to talk.
Your dad was a poet too?
Not a real one.
I'm confused at his meaning, and he explains.
He never published anything.
Oh, I offer lamely. His definition of a real poet doesn't sit well with me. But what do I know? I'm not even a fake poet. He must be super proud of you then.
He's dead.
He finishes bandaging my other knee.
Besides, I'm not a poet anymore.
Before I ask what he means by that, he asks a question of his own.
So did you always want to be a stalker?
His fire-breathing eyes. They are smiling, slightly. I should be offended that he's laughing at me, but I'm not. In fact, I genuinely think about it. Well, I guess, yeah. It was kind of inevitable. I've always been invisible to everyone. To my mom, my dad. I don't even know if he remembers me. I shrug. And to Caleb. I've always watched them through the shadows. So yeah, it made perfect sense for me to become a crazy stalker. By the time I finish my explanation, Thomas has a permanent tick in his jaw like a live wire crackling with dangerous electricity. I think about the cause for it. Is it because I mentioned Caleb again? I tamp down a delicious shiver at how he convinced me that he is different than him. Thomas? His name called out in an unfamiliar, a feminine voice chills me more than the winter ever can. Is it Hadley? Is she here? How could Thomas do this to me? Bring me in his house when his wife was here all along? Thomas stands up. The creak of the chair sounds more like a death knell this time. How could he do this to us? My heart cries.
Susan, this is Layla.
For a second, I sit there. It's Susan, not Hadley. Susan. Oh, God. Who's Susan? I jump down from my perch like someone injected me with a shot of adrenaline. Susan is an old but beautiful woman, with the face of what I imagine a warm grandmother would have. My grandparents, too many of them, have faces carved out of Botox. Hi. I move away from Thomas and stand to the side, hands primly folded in front of me.
Hello?
She is confused. She looks from him to me and then back again.
Is everything okay?
We weren't doing anything. I wasn't even touching him.
Yes.
Thomas's face is blank.
I'm going to take her home now. Is Nikki still sleeping?
He is. I just woke up to get a glass of water.
Okay, I'll see you in a bit then.
Without looking at me, Thomas issues his command.
Come on.
I give Susan a tremulous smile, which she returns, and follow Thomas. I feel her stare on my back, and I don't know if it's my newfound paranoia or if she really knows something is going on. I collect my clothes from the island and Thomas drives me home. The ride is silent and tense. I don't know what happened. I'm freaking out, breaking into a sweat and slathering his leather seats. When he stops the car in front of my tower, I turn to him. I'm sorry for showing up the way I did. He stares ahead, his fingers flexing on the steering wheel.
You should be.
It won't happen again, ever, I tell him. Well, is Susan?
You don't have to worry about Susan.
He looks at me, and something in his eyes puts me at an uneasy sort of ease. She won't tell, but she'll know, and that's even worse. Silent reprimand. How does she know, though? Could she tell just by looking at us? Are we that transparent in our lust for each other? Thomas is waiting for me to get out, but I can't go. Not yet. What did you mean when you said you aren't a poet anymore? His sigh is sharp and long.
Nothing. I didn't mean anything. Now go home.
Last night you told me you forgot about her because you were too busy with your words. A dreadful feeling makes a home in my chest as I pull all the pieces together. Did you quit? Is that why you came here? How is that even possible? How can he quit writing? How can anyone?
Get out.
But I don't budge. Thomas, that's ridiculous. I mean, you're too good to quit. You love this stuff. And how can you even do that? How can you unbecome a poet? Thomas turns to me, his face stark and white within the tinted windows of his car.
Get the fuck out.
I should be offended. I should be. Really. There are many things about him that should offend me. He's rude and mean and made of thorny, jagged edges. But I'm crazy enough to see what he doesn't show me. His raw and unpolished pain. Thomas.
Just go, Layla. Just go. Leave. It fucking hurts me to hurt you, but I'll do it. I'll keep doing it because that's just who I am. So you need to cut your losses and move on.
Like Hadley, I add silently. The love of his life, for whom he's given up the very thing that defines him. His words. Right here, in the confines of his car, I hear my innocence shatter. Whatever I've believed in is gone. Apparently love isn't enough. And right here, I decide I'll never leave Thomas. I'll never abandon him like his wife did. Chapter 21. I'm being sneaky this morning. I told Emma I had an early appointment with a made-up professor. She didn't question it because, well, she's out of it these days. I'm waiting for Dylan outside our poetry class. I called him a while ago and asked him to meet me here. He's already late, and we only have just about 30 minutes before class starts. The sound of hurried footsteps alerts me to Dylan's arrival. He is cold and panting, and clutching a mug of hot coffee as he comes closer. Hey, sorry, got a little held up. I stare at the mug, and strangely, I don't have any urge to steal a sip from him. Thomas is the only person I want to steal things from now.
So, what's up? You said it was something important? Dylan asks.
Yes. Why are you being so stupid? His brows draw together.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about how you're being stupid with Emma. I fold my hands and lean on the wall. Why are you guys still fighting?
I'm not fighting with her.
Really? Then why is Emma always moping? And how come you don't come around? It's been a week of fighting between them, and Dylan hasn't shown up at the apartment. It's always Matt, and he always steals all my Twizzlers, which is so not good. But mostly, I'm worried about Emma. I'm worried that something that isn't either of their fault is causing a rift between them. It's really silly to fight over something her mom did such a long time ago. I think you guys are being really stupid and dramatic, I add, without giving Dylan a chance to talk. I mean, you guys love each other. Do you know how rare that is? Why can't you get over it? Dear God, I could slap him silly for squandering away something so precious.
Hey, I'm fine with it, okay? I'm fine with patching things up, but she's being unreasonable. I even apologized about the whole mom thing, and what does she do? She agrees to go to Florida with Matt for spring break.
What?
You didn't know about that?
I shake my head, stunned.
Well, apparently Matt and Emma are going to Florida for a few days to chill out, all because we had a stupid fight. If she wants to make me jealous, she can go ahead and do that.
But that doesn't sound like her. That does not sound like her at all. He shakes his head.
I don't even care. It's just too much hassle to begin with. We never should have started going out.
I stand up straight and widen my eyes at him.
What?
No! You guys are great together, and you love her and she loves you. There's obviously more to the story. Dylan goes quiet and stares at me. It's weird, the way he's looking. He's gone all shy and awkward as he runs a hand over the back of his neck.
Your eyes are huge.
Huh?
I mean, they're beautiful.
Okay, Dylan.
I had a crush on you last semester. I mean, I liked you. Crush sounds so juvenile.
He throws out a nervous laugh and somehow comes even closer to me. Dylan, that's just...
I always thought you were beautiful and, well, when I saw you in Professor Abrams' class, I wanted to ask you out.
He trails off and bends his head toward me. I know what's coming. I know he's going to kiss me before he even puts his mouth on my lips. He smells of coffee and cold, and his lips are soft, and maybe a little bit dry. I am frozen under him. It's not fear. I know he won't hurt me. It's something else, maybe shock. I'm stunned at his actions. But as he slips his tongue out to trace the seam of my lips, I jerk back. He is hurt. It's there in his eyes, and slightly ashamed, not because I didn't reciprocate, but because of his fight with Emma. He is jealous and he wants some control back. God, men are so simple. Before I can tell him my conclusions, I feel someone staring at us. Dylan feels it too, and he moves out of the way and turns around. It's Thomas. His gaze is pinned on me and his jaw is locked shut. It's obvious he saw the kiss. Shit. I move away from Dylan because nothing happened between us. I want to go to Thomas and tell him it didn't mean anything. I even take a step forward, but then I remember where we are, and more importantly, who we are to each other. I can't run across the space and jump into his arms. I'm afraid to even smile at him. My lips might spill our secret. It hits me how we can't do the little things that normal couples do. We are not even a couple. "Hey, Professor," Dylan greets, nervously. Thomas barely spares him a glance as he begins walking toward us. What is he doing? I swallow a thick knot at his hardened expression, his determined strides. My legs move of their own accord and take a couple of steps back. He pauses in front of me. His eyes are so blue, so flaming. I can't stand it. I open my mouth to say something. Anything is better than this aggressive silence, but Thomas cuts me off.
"Excuse me."
I blink up at him. "What?" He studies me for the length of four beats.
"You're in my way."
I lick my lips and his eyes flare, become even bluer if possible. An answering tug in my belly makes me want to arch up to him. That's exactly the kind of thing I cannot do. It serves as a wake-up call and I look around. I am, indeed, in his way. I'm blocking the door. "Sorry," I say, looking up at him. As soon as I move aside, he passes me and enters the room. The class goes by quickly. We discuss Seder by a 17th century poet, John Wilmot. According to him, men are beasts and society civilizes those beasts. So fuck society. Fuck rationality. Do whatever you want. Don't judge your impulses, just act on them. I'd believe him if it weren't for the fact that he had a steady stream of mistresses and that he died of an STD. Thomas never looks at me once. He appears normal. No signs of anger or anything. As if the scene from earlier didn't happen. Am I the one making a big deal out of it? Maybe he didn't mind. Maybe it didn't even register on his radar. I should be happy about this because it was, in fact, nothing. But I am not. I am the opposite of happy right now. I can't tell what I am, but it's not good. When the class is done, I decide to talk to Thomas about it, but I don't get the chance. A couple of girls, whose names I don't even know, surround him, asking questions. Usually, Thomas is reserved. He never encourages discussion. Dashing out of class before anyone gets the chance to ask him anything. But today, he is lingering, answering all their questions with patience. He is smiling at them, nodding and talking. He never does that. Never. It's making me feel worse by the second. I have too much useless, restless energy inside me. It's making me horny. It's making me crazy. I just want him to look at me once. Just once. When I can't take it anymore, I jerk out of my seat and dash out of there. I run across campus to my next class. I sit beside the window, looking out at the snowy courtyard. The serenity of it all is making everything worse. Why isn't the world exploding with me? I know I should channel all this frustration into something productive, like writing. But fuck writing. Fuck everything. Why wouldn't he look at me? Why would he talk to those girls? Why didn't that meaningless kiss affect him? I stand up and my chair screeches loudly. The professor halts mid-sentence. People are staring at me. But for once, I don't care. I collect my things and address the professor, hastily saying, I'm not feeling well, so I'm gonna leave. I don't wait for his reply as I bound down the stairs of the lecture hall and run out of there. 10 minutes later, I'm inside the labyrinth, dodging the crowd that always lingers in the corridors as if the classes are too small to fit this many people. A flash later, I'm standing in front of his office, my hand on the knob. I open the door and find Thomas in his chair, his head bent over some papers. I close the door behind me, shutting out the noises, or at least dulling them. His attention usually makes me calmer. It soothes something inside of me, the animal that growls when he isn't around. But I'm not calming down today. "It didn't mean anything," I say without any preamble. "The kiss. Dylan was just angry and, well, he kissed me, but I moved away." Apart from putting his pen down, he remains silent, but something lurks on his face, a softening of his features. I can't explain what it means. My mind is clouded. Thomas stands up and rounds the desk, but he doesn't approach me. "You're mad, right? You're mad because he touched me, aren't you? You have to be. You have to be angry and jealous because I'm angry. I'm so fucking angry that I can't think straight." I come to stand before him. His smell invades my lungs and I shiver. "You never talk to students. You are never nice to them, so why were you being nice to those girls? I don't even know their names, but I hate them."
"Melanie,"
he says in a gravelly voice. "What?"
"That's one of the girls' name."
"It's a stupid name."
"You don't like it?"
His lips bloom into a mocking, lopsided smirk. "No, I hate it. And I hate you right now." His eyebrows arch and I move even closer. The tips of our boots are touching. He's wearing the same boots from that night long ago. A lifetime ago when I thought I had a crush on him, and when I thought he was a man who had everything. It was a foolish thought. I never had a crush, and Thomas might be the poorest man alive. What I feel for him is indefinable, and I have no desire to think about it right now.
"Then what name would you like me to say?"
"Mine. Say my name." I shudder thinking about yesterday, when he forced me to remember his name as I sucked him off. Oh, God. His cock. His taste, the length of it, the weight. I could write poems about it. And I'm not even a legit poet yet. And his words. My cunt is still wet from his filthy poetry. As if my lust never went to sleep. In fact, it has evolved into something stronger. Angrier. My fingers fist his shirt and I jerk him closer to me. "I'm hungry." He watches me with hooded eyes.
"Is that right?"
I hook my leg over his waist, going up on my tiptoes and pout. "Yes. Starving. And I want to eat your cock. I promise not to use my teeth." I wonder when I became so bold as to say such things. I wasn't so courageous last night. I wasn't this courageous even a minute ago. Maybe it's him. Maybe it's this achy feeling inside me. His swollen flesh jerks between our bodies.
"Why should I let you do that? What's in it for me?"
I want to slap him, stomp on his foot, shake him. Can't he see how mad I am right now? How fucking jealous? I'm out of control. But now I know what game to play. What game will make him lose his mind? I tuck my face between his shoulder and neck and toy with the top button of his shirt. Because I'm gonna make it good for you.
"Yeah? How are you gonna do that?"
His lazy, indulgent voice is making me see double right now. The lust is so thick and potent in my veins. I've become a poet in this moment and describe my filthy thoughts in detail, in my tiny voice. The voice he likes so much. I'll give it a lick first. There's this groove in the middle. I'm going to pay special attention to that. And then I'll nibble on it so that white stuff, you know, the stuff that's salty and slippery, your pre-cum, it'll ooze out and then I'm gonna lick that up too.
Then I'm gonna suck and suck until I get my prize at the end. And then I'm gonna swallow all of it. Our breaths have escalated. His fingers on my ass flex and knead and run in circles. Every time they lift up more of my skirt. I wish I weren't wearing my tights. I wish I were naked underneath. Christ, what's wrong with me? It's the middle of the day. This building is alive. There's a tap, tap, tap of computers. The ringing of a phone somewhere. Footsteps. All of this should make me want to stop and turn back, but it just makes me even hornier. The fact that people around us are unaware of the depravity inside these four walls makes it even more appealing. His face is harsh, nostrils flaring. Maybe the same things are running through his head as he growls.
If this is your way of driving me crazy, then you better make it good, Layla. Because my cock is hungry, too. And it won't be full until it feeds on your pussy and eats out all your cum.
I want to smile with victory, but I'm busy being super turned on. I move away from him and watch his body go lax, as if he's surrendering himself to me. It's such a surreal moment that I feel dizzy with power, with lust. He knows what I want. He can see how hard up I am for his cock, and in a very, very surprising move, he is giving it to me. Letting me be in control. I push him back and he goes easily. I keep going until he drops into his chair, making it squeak like crazy. I almost moan out loud. I crouch on my feet, careful about my banged up knee and tuck myself under the desk. It's enclosed on three sides, turning it into a dark, erotically claustrophobic space. I rest my palms on Thomas's thighs. Bringing him closer to me. His muscles strain under my fingers and I can't stop myself from tracing the hard patterns with my hands. Up and down. Up and down. His muscles grow tighter by the second. The bulge of his cock is thicker. In this moment, my hands mold him. I'm the sculptor who creates him. I manage to open his belt, followed by the zipper. He maneuvers himself and helps me take out his cock. He hisses as I run my hands all over it. I answer him with a long sigh. Last night he took my virgin mouth and abused it. But today, I use it against him. Today my mouth is greedier, hornier, a seductive beast of teeth and tongue that sucks him, and sucks him like my life depends on it. The veins in his forearms are ready to jump through his skin with the need to touch me, yet he doesn't move his hands from the armrest. My body feels heavy with the power. I yank off my coat and top and expose my tits. Thomas almost jumps off the chair at my actions. The creak of it hits my cunt, making it pant with need. He's mesmerized by my body, hypnotized by it. And I put on a show for him. I play with my nipples and he curses, says my name in a helpless moan. A rush of power douses me and the world loses its meaning. I don't care about anything but sucking his cock forever. I never want to stop. Not for anything. Not even for the jarring knock at his door. Chapter 22. Thomas rips my mouth away from his shaft and sits upright. There's a click, and I realize I forgot to lock the door. Shit.
Thomas, a man says. Jake.
His voice is tight, tighter than usual, but nothing that would suggest there's a student hiding under his desk. I put a fist over my mouth to muffle the sounds of my breathing, as if Thomas knows I'm hyperventilating. He puts a reassuring hand on my head. Electric current runs through my spine as he keeps talking, while maintaining contact with me at the same time.
What do you want? Whoa, is that how you talk to your boss?
Thomas caresses my hair, patting me as he takes a deep breath and replies,
What do you want, Jake? I'm a little busy right now.
Really? Too busy for a coffee run?
There's suspicion in his voice. God, I'm terrified and so fucking turned on at the same time. His wet, hard cock is right in front of my eyes. And I want to touch it so bad.
Aren't you going to die without your chocolate fix?
Professor Masters continues. Biting my lip, I eye the angry head of his dick, glistening with my saliva. What would Thomas do if I licked it right now? Sucked it. Would he be mad for making him lose control in front of a colleague? His boss? Or would he be as turned on as me? As I advance toward him, I realize I don't care. I just want to suck his cock. I'm hungry. I need it in my mouth, and if he loses control, then so be it. He makes me feel out of control pretty much all the time.
I think I'll survive,
Thomas says.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I've got papers to grade. Why the fuck are you sweating?
I latch onto his shaft just as Professor Master's suspicion-laced question reaches Thomas. A creak sounds as he jumps under the double assault caused by me and the inquiry, his hand fisting my hair.
Are you okay? Yeah.
Thomas clears his throat and tightens his fist in my hair to the point that it hurts, and I take it out on his throbbing cock.
I'm a little tense, that's all. Why? Upcoming audit,
he clips. I suck and suck and play with his balls. I feel them tightening in my hands to alert of the impending orgasm. Even though it's my mouth that's going to receive his cum, my pussy is getting excited, pushing out juices. Professor Masters says something to soothe Thomas's fake worries, and Thomas tells him he'll be fine in a while. They talk some more, but I tune them out except for Thomas's voice. Lust is leeching into it, making it brittle, breakable. I've never been this horny in my life. Graphic images of Thomas spraying his cum on my face flash through my mind. Images of him losing total control and yanking me out from under the desk and fucking me in front of Professor Masters and the whole goddamn world like he talked about last night. I trap a furious moan in my throat. I picture his ass flexing as he drives into me, and I look every single person in the eye, especially that Melanie, and tell her how good his dick feels inside me. He hurts me so good. So good. I'm such a slut for his cock. It's strange that my jealousy doesn't extend to his wife. Maybe because I've always known that Thomas is hers. But seeing him with someone else messes with my crazy heart. I'm the only other woman in his life. And then my heart jumps in my throat and all thoughts are forgotten. Thomas pulls me by the hair, and I'm yanked out of the dark hole I've been in. Panic and excitement grip me in equal measures as he turns me around and pushes me on the desk, crushing my bare tits to the surface. Professor Masters is gone. The door is closed. When did that happen?
Stay there,
he orders. I see him striding across the room and locking the door. Then he is behind me in a flash, his hand in my hair as he pulls me away from the desk.
You like playing games, Layla?
He hisses in my ear, his chest moving against my arched back.
You like making me mad, huh?
His voice makes my nipples throb, and I have no choice but to squeeze my breasts as I answer. I just wanted to show you how I feel around you.
And what's that?
Like a loaded gun. Like I could go off at any second. I just wanted you to know what it feels like to be so wild. His bitter laugh stirs my hair.
Wild like this?
He thrusts his cock into my skirt-covered ass, letting me feel his swollen desire. His hands cover mine where I'm squeezing my breasts and smash them together.
Or like this. Like you can't stop playing with your tits for one fucking second. You think this is what wild feels like?
He is crushing them, and I arch up to my tiptoes to get closer to him. Always closer. I want to fucking crawl under his skin.
You have no fucking idea, do you?
He says harshly.
I'm going to show you, though. I'm going to show you what it feels like to be wild. What it feels like when you are around me.
A sob breaks free when he plasters me back on the desk. He flips my skirt up and pushes my tights and my panties down, exposing my ass. My cheeks are trembling with anticipation when he puts both his hands on them and squeezes them like he did my breasts. I turn my face to the side so I can see him. He is bathed in sweat. It trickles down his forehead, the side of his face, and disappears down the collar of his shirt. Even his eyelashes shine with the salty fluids. They look so thick and black, framing his downcast eyes. I release a puff of breath as he grabs a handful of my ass cheeks and pull them apart. My eyes scrunch closed, imagining what he might be looking at. My pussy and my asshole. I go on tiptoes again, this time inching away from him as he circles a thumb on that forbidden place. It clenches and unclenches with his every stroke. His chuckle is dark, shiver-inducing.
Is that what you want? You want me to fuck you in the ass right now? Is that why you're winking your tight little hole at me?
I whimper when he presses his thumb, poised to get in.
Answer me, Layla. Is that what you want right now?
No, I whisper. I don't know. It's going to hurt.
Yeah, it will.
He leans over me.
But tell you what, I won't spoil the fun for you. I won't take your ass right now. One day when you're so mindless with my cock pounding into your pussy that you don't know up from down, I'll shove it in your tight little hole, making you scream.
I'm quaking beneath him, hypnotized by his voice. By him.
Remember when I told you I'll set you on fire and won't even look back?
He strokes my sweaty hair and whispers in my ear.
That's how I'll do it. Well, fucking your ass. I'll pour the gasoline, light the match, and watch you burn, Layla. And trust me, you're going to love it. I'm going to ruin you for every other man out there. And you're going to love every second of it.
God. God, I think I'm dead. I'm in heaven and hell. In another stratosphere. I'm everywhere. He has shattered me with his dark promises. Broken me. And I don't think I'll ever be pieced back together.
Not today, though.
He moves away, one hand on the nape of my neck, keeping me down.
No. Today I'm going to show you something else. Today I'm going to show you how I burn.
With that, he shoves his cock in me, and I bite my lip to keep from screaming. He isn't gentle. He doesn't give me time to adjust to his size. He is hurting me. My pussy is going to be sore for a long time. But nothing matters when his hips are slapping my ass with every stab of his cock. When he is grunting over me, probably sweating and panting. I wish I could open my eyes and look at him. But the hurt is so good. Winding his hand in my hair, he jerks me upright, changing the angle of his thrusts. He is pressing against the upper wall of my cunt, making me feel him in my stomach. The force of his hold is so tight, so mighty that my neck is arched up, and I'm looking at his fierce face upside down, my chin tucked under his.
I feel like I'm sick, Layla. Burning up. Sweating. Like every cell in my body is vibrating.
His teeth are gritted. His words infused with his lust and exertion.
It starts in my gut. Then it travels up to my chest and shoulders. And I feel a raging pain in the back of my skull. That's when I know I'm going to catch fire any second. If I don't get it under control. If I don't stop thinking about you.
The pressure in my stomach is unrelenting. It feels like I'm going to burst or pee or something. Thomas! Too much. It's... I trail off with watering eyes.
Not enough. It's not enough.
He jams his cock inside, probably touching my insane heart, and rotates his hips. It's a good thing his other hand goes to cover my mouth, because I can't keep the scream inside this time. Neither can I keep the tears held up. They stream down, wetting his palm. His nostrils flare at the sight, but he doesn't stop. God, he does not stop. He keeps going, keeps jackhammering, and I...
You love it, yeah?
He rasps, completing my thought.
Maybe that's why you forgot to lock the door the first time around. Maybe you wanted to get caught. Wanted people to see how much you love my cock. Isn't that right? You want everyone to see you like this.
I blink in agreement. That's all I've got the strength for. He lets go of my hair with a grunt and drops his forehead in the crook of my neck. His strokes are erratic now, like he's inching closer to his climax. Now that my neck isn't stretched tight, I can take full breaths. My fingers sink into his hair. It's peaceful like this. His violence, his aggression put me at ease. I never want to leave his arms, this room. I want to be with him forever. My eyes jerk open at the thought. No, not forever. This is not forever.
Rub your clit. I want you to get yourself off.
All thoughts evaporate at his commanding voice, and I do as he says. I flick my clit and play with my puffy nipples.
This is what I think about.
He bites.
It doesn't even matter if you're around. This. Bursting every door down so I can get to your pussy. All I can think about is fucking you, Layla. All the time. Every time. You're in my fucking blood, and I'll tear apart anyone who dares to fucking touch you.
That's when I come. My body strains, goes rigid as I come at his confession. A confession that seems to be torn out of his very soul. It sharpens my orgasm, makes it that much more painful and fulfilling. I feel him come inside me. It's only then I realize he's wearing a condom. I was so gone in my lust that I didn't even know when he put it on. His climax is a silent one, probably because he said too much before. He lets me go and strokes my sweaty spine in soothing circles. His touch finally calms me, and I smile a sleepy smile. Thomas was jealous. It did affect him. I don't remember having been this happy for a long, long time. Chapter 23. Words are powerful. Words are fucking magnificent. I love all things words. I'm flying today with Lana's voice in my ears, all because Thomas gave me the words. You're in my fucking blood. And I'll tear apart anyone who dares to fucking touch you. I never knew something as potent and ugly as jealousy could invoke such happy emotions in me. I could kiss Dylan again just to feel Thomas's aggression. It makes me wonder if everyone is like that. If it's normal to feel this way. To be so needy for something. I open the door to my apartment. And all thoughts about kissing Dylan vanish when I see Emma crying on the couch. I rush to her side. What's wrong? She sniffs. Dylan and I broke up. What? I give her a side hug. But why? Is it because he kissed me? I want to add, but I can't. Because it's going to hurt her. And what if she blames me? Because he's being a jerk? What happened? What did he do? I pat her back in circles. Any second now she'll knock off my hand and break up this friendship. He accused me of cheating. She scrunches up her face. As if I'd do such a thing. I'm not a slut. With Matt? How do you know that? Emma is suspicious. Shit. My big mouth. I don't know if I should tell her what happened this morning. How I lied to her so I could meet Dylan and then he fucking kissed me. That idiot. I'm lying to her so much as it is, or rather not telling. I'm like your mom. Well, I'm the female version of the man who wrecked your family. Now, can we be BFFs?
I look at Emma's tear-stained face and think of all the troubles she's been having these past few days. Whose fault is that? Theirs for fighting over something that happened in the past? Or her mom's for doing something terrible years ago? Or is it mine? Did I do a wrong thing by getting them together? But they loved each other. It was so obvious. If you love someone, you should be with them. End of story. God, things don't make sense anymore. I can't tell what's right or wrong. Is love even worth all this trouble? I decide I can't lie to Emma more than necessary. She's my friend. I know that because... I know he kissed you, she informs me. I tense up. My heart is pounding like a jackhammer. Please, don't let her blame me. Everyone always blames me. I'm sorry, okay? It was stupid, it didn't mean anything, he barely touched me and just... My voice is shrill with panic. You have to believe me, it was nothing. Hey, Layla, of course I believe you. Emma is the one calming me down, patting my back. Why wouldn't I? I know you would never do such a thing, move in on my man or whatever. So relax. Her words are reassuring, but my heart is still racing as if it doesn't understand what the fuck is happening. You do? She throws out a sad laugh. Yeah. It's his fault that he kissed you. His, not yours. And to throw that in my face because he thinks I'm cheating on him with Matt? She shakes her head. It feels like I don't even know him anymore. It was stupid, Emma. I think he was just jealous. Please don't break up because of it. I'm ashamed that not 10 minutes ago I was floating around on a high that jealousy caused. I can't see her like this. I can't take any more heartbreak. Why can't people just get along? My heart whines. Tears start flowing anew as Emma whispers. I mean, I always knew he had a crush on you, so maybe I was stupid to get together with him in the first place. No, you weren't stupid. There is nothing stupid about loving someone. I grip her hands. There has to be a way for you guys to work this out. This can't be the end. I don't want to, she shrugs. I've been thinking these past few days, and I think maybe it's okay to not get what you want. Yeah, I loved him, or I thought I did, but getting together with him was not better. I thought it would be, but I think we were closer to each other as friends. We shouldn't look for love stories where there are none to be found. I have a new shadow. Her name is Sarah Turner. She follows me everywhere. One day she caught me in the ladies' room up on the second floor of the labyrinth. I've always felt it's too risky to go there, but I'm known for not heeding my own advice. I had just come out of Thomas's office, and I needed to put myself back together after he made me fall apart. She was at the sink when I entered and shot me a curious look. Are you here to see Professor Abrams? Yes, I had a few questions. The running water filled the silence as I averted her eyes. Then she asked, You're new, right? Creative writing isn't your major. No, it's not. I don't have a major yet, but she didn't need to know that. Closing the tap, she rolled out a tissue and wiped her hands. So our star poet pulled you into this? Yes. No, I have a friend who insisted I take the class. Well, good luck. I'm here if you need me for anything. As I said, I'm great at gender roles in literature. Then she laughed, and it took me a minute to understand what she meant. Suddenly, I remembered that long ago fib Thomas told outside of the alchemy, back in a time when I barely knew him. Anyway, after that encounter, I see Sarah everywhere around campus. She waves at me from the corridor, or smiles at me from across the street. I don't like that. I don't like that she sees me. In those moments,
It's hard to keep my promise to Thomas of no regrets. In those moments, I wish I could wear him on my skin so he could curb my anxiety and this heavy, dark feeling inside my chest. Because it doesn't matter. No amount of accusations or looks or guilt will ever make me give this up, whatever Thomas and I have. I won't give this up. Because Thomas is happy. Well, not happy-happy. He's too abandoned for that. Too much an unrequited love. But he laughs without bitterness. A laugh that actually sounds like one. I thought I'd never see him laugh that way. But he does with me. His laughter is rich and dark, like everything else about him. And I bring that out of him. Your office is so boring, Thomas. I mean, beige? Really? I told him one night when I was there, sitting on his lap.
What would you prefer? Purple?
Duh, what else? Though I could be persuaded by blue, too. You know, the color of my tattoo? The tattoo I play with when I'm alone at night? I undulated my hips, feeling the bump of his erection between my thighs.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Except it's my tattoo, and you're here every night and I play with it with my tongue.
He licked the side of my neck and whispered in my ear.
Until you're begging me to stop, but secretly hoping I don't. Is that the tattoo you're talking about?
You're such an ass. He laughed then, threw his head back and stared at the ceiling. I was stunned. I'd never seen him do that before. The sound rolled over my flesh, drenching me in fresh lust and arousal. But it was more than that. It was the fact that I'd said the same line to him countless times in the past, but he'd never laughed at it. I wasn't saying anything new, or particularly funny, but he heard it that way. Thomas was happy. When you're happy, you laugh at the lamest jokes. How can happiness be wrong? How can any of this be wrong if the end result is laughter and momentary peace? When I'm in doubt, or when I can't fall asleep in my soft bed and have to curl up in my cold bathtub or inside my closet, I think about his laugh. I think about how he laughs when I climb up his body like a monkey in desperation. He laughs when I get mad at him for stealing my Twizzlers, like I steal his cigarettes. He laughs when he sees my polka dot socks. He laughs when I insist on wearing those ridiculous Russian fur hats. His words, not mine. He laughs when I tell him he's the worst teacher anyone has ever had, that his homework assignments are stupid. He laughs when he fucks me and I get too needy for my orgasm. He laughs when my words stutter while reading my poems and riding his cock. He laughs and laughs and laughs. And it makes me wonder, if I hadn't pursued him with a single-minded insanity, would he have deteriorated in Hadley's absence? Would the lines around his eyes and mouth have deepened into permanent scratches? So maybe all of this is a good thing. All the sneaking around, breaking rules, fucking with the universe. Everything is worth it. For Thomas. Even though it's inadvisable, I still build castles in the air. I still think of myself as a Cinderella, and him as my tarnished, broken, kinky Prince Charming. I just wonder what's going to happen when the real Cinderella comes back and makes him all shiny and whole. He won't need me then. He won't need his slutty fake princess. Bathed in the yellow light of the lamp, Thomas is sprawled in his office chair, having a smoke with his shirt unbuttoned and hair mussed up by my fingers. I'm on the floor, propped against his couch, my notebook in my lap, my eyes on the tight curves of his sweaty muscles. I've gotten used to this arrangement, being with Thomas, inside a sleepy building, in the dead of night, cozied up in his fire, writing while he smokes. Sometimes I listen to the music on his phone. It's all instrumental, songs without words, They help me write whatever nonsense comes to my head. My gaze falls on his tie, lying by my side. It's maroon in color. He never wears a tie.